Welcome to Earth Matters, environmental and social justice stories from around Australia and beyond. This episode is produced at the studios of 3CR in Naarm, Melbourne, on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Earth Matters is distributed nationally through the Community Radio Network. I'd like to pay my respects to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to other First Nations Australians who may be listening to this broadcast. I'm your host, Claudia Craig. Welcome to another episode of Earth Matters. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners, please be aware that this episode of Earth Matters contains the name of a person who has died.
We went pretty deep into where the main tailings dumps are. And, you know, we have this drone shot that goes for 5 minutes, which obviously we condensed in the film. And it just shows, like, the tailings dumps going for, like, hundreds of metres. And, you know, that is not a perspective many people will ever see unless they're flying over that site in a chopper.
That's director-producer Yara Bo-Melham speaking about the newly released award-winning documentary Yolu Country. Yolu deals with the catastrophic health and environmental impacts of asbestos mining with the most infamous mine at Whitnoom in the Pilbara region of Western Australia and tells the story of Bunjuma man Maitland Parker, who was fighting not only for his life but also for country and culture. Annie McLaughlin from 3CR's Showreel spoke with writer, director and producer Yara Bo-Melham to learn more about this film that captures the facts and the emotions attached to the Whitnoom tragedy. Let's take a listen.
Thank you very much for talking to me, Yara. You've made an interesting career following important stories from the First Nations people's perspective. And so this particular film, Yolu Country, is part of that oeuvre of work, isn't it? Can you tell me a little bit about how you came to the story?
We actually started making a different film about the 60,000 abandoned mines that are scattered across Australia, many of which have really terrible environmental and health legacies and are affecting communities. So we were going to, you know, visit a few different communities and look at this story from that angle, I suppose. And then we came across Maitland's story, Maitland Parker, who's a Bunjuma elder and is the protagonist of our film. And it was, I think it was the most insane story we'd never heard about, you know, about this Aboriginal elder who has become sick just as a result of living and working near the largest contaminated site in the Southern Hemisphere that's on his country. And he's trying to get it cleaned up. So we started filming with him still with this idea in mind that we would be looking at many different communities. But the more we spent time with him and the more our trust and access developed, the more we realized that we couldn't. Like, his story was such, it was like this epic. It was like this, you know, from a narrative perspective, like this great tragedy where there was only going to be one end for Maitland, but a legacy that he would leave behind that would inspire his people and others to try to act and rally around, you know, healing country and cleaning up Whitnoom.
Really his story and the, because he calls his country poison country, and it's part of Pilbara region, very beautiful country.
Yeah.
And what your film is really showing and his story is showing is actually the many stories of the flagrant disregard, not only of culture, but of country in this country for profit.
Yeah, I think what we wanted to show is that this isn't just a devastated landscape, that there is culture, history, knowledge, stories embedded within Banjima country. And we worked very closely with Maitland, who's a co-writer and executive producer of the film. We co-created the film with him and his family. We worked very closely with them to integrate a lot of these cultural stories into the film. And I think that gives it a richness where you're not just showing that it's poison country, but that is Banjima country too. And what does that mean? We really wanted to show the landscape as a character in the film, and that relationship that Maitland has with the land, which is very symbiotic, allowed us to do that in a fuller way, as well. And it kind of helped bring out this message that we really wanted to convey, which is that when country is sick, we are sick, and that we need to heal country for our own health and well-being. Because we know this, like if we live in a polluted, toxic environment, then that's going to affect our own health. And I think that this just happens on a larger scale, but it's the same message.
Well, it's interesting to me that you said that you didn't know this story because I'm a lot older than you, and I can remember being a kid and seeing This Day Tonight, or it might have been Four Corners, a very long time ago, exposing the asbestos story. And it's great that you've actually gone and revisited it from a Western point of view, let alone a Indigenous point of view, because you show they built this thriving white community there as if it was a great story of progress, when in actual fact they were building it on a false promise. And I'm assuming that many of the people that live there are also, like Maitland, had suffered. I mean, the thing about it is that this is a common story and that people should be listening. When you took us with his family to the birthing tree, and they were talking about that from a generational point of view, it really was telling Western-eyed people that this country has a history and a knowledge that you don't know anything about, and that I mean, it's a real boon that Matt Maitland is giving us and his family is giving us to actually explain what it is that's actually happening here.
It's interesting because I think I live on the east coast of Australia, and I think that the memory of the Wittenoom asbestos mine cases of the 80s and 90s, it was kind of made national headlines, and it was, it had Blue Death on Four Corners, and it was, massive news for a few years. And the big Wittenoom cases of the 80s and 90s also really brought that into the forefront. But the focus was on the workers and the residents of Wittenoom Town. There wasn't much of an awareness or discussion about the contamination, other than its risk to those workers and residents. And there certainly wasn't a discussion about how the traditional owners felt about it. And I think that's what we tried to change with this film. We really wanted to center Maitland's perspective in the film. Not only, he comes from a historically marginalized community, but there's also been this real, in filmmaking, an extractive process in telling stories from those communities. And we really needed to avoid that, especially as we were looking at these extractive mining processes in the film and critiquing that. So we didn't want to fall into that trap, hence the co-creation model that we had with Maitland. And it's really interesting because we scoured the archives looking for when Banjima people were interviewed about Wittenoom, and found it really difficult to find anything until 2021, when Maitland Parker was interviewed by NITV, which is the National Indigenous Channel. So that was extraordinary to us. I think for me, that was more of the kind of amnesia that we have around Wittenoom. It wasn't that we didn't know about the Wittenoom mine or the workers and the cases of the 80s and 90s. It's that we didn't consider the way that the contamination affected Banjima people, the traditional owners of that land. And that is something we try to correct in the film and really make sure that we center Maitland's perspective.
The other thing that's really highlighted in this film, which is a, quite a criminal act, is this idea that, oh yes, it's a contaminated land, we're not going to do it anymore. Yes, okay, we've got legal cases. It's more costly to continue to do it because of the legal cases than it is to continue, so we'll stop doing it. So the Western Australian government does no cleanup. The corporations have got nothing to clean up here. So they've left this poison exposed, and I'm assuming continuing to expose all people who live in Australia and the world to this poisonous asbestos stuff. And for some reason or other, they think they have no responsibility. Bizarre.
So responsibility for the tailings dumps actually does fall with the Western Australian government. And, you know, being an investigative journalist, we did do quite a bit of a rigorous fact-based research about that responsibility and also what has the government done about it for the last, you know, 40-odd years. We found that there was, you know, successive government inquiries in the 90s that actually recommended a cleanup of the site, remediation of the tailings, and these recommendations were ignored. We looked at some government-commissioned engineering reports about how they could actually remediate the site, and the last one was in 2015. And those engineers said to the government, if you don't secure these massive tailing dumps, which is, you know, this mine waste laced with the deadly asbestos fibres, then they will continue to spread for, and I quote, hundreds of years. And that's exactly what's happening. So now this site, which is the largest contaminated site in the Southern Hemisphere, they've detected asbestos fibres outside of this contamination zone. And this was completely foreseeable. And we then looked at FOI documents, Freedom of Information documents of internal correspondence within the government about, you know, why they decided not to clean it up based on the reports from the engineers in 2015, and part of it, most of it, was due to cost. So, which is extraordinary considering the figures that they came up with at the time is just, you know, a tiny fraction of the mineral and mining royalties that the Western Australian government receives every year could be cleaned up. It's a terrible distinction for Australia to have the worst, largest contaminated site in the Southern Hemisphere. This is something that's impacting Bunjuma people. You know, Aboriginal people in Western Australia have the highest death rates from mesothelioma globally. That's because of Wittenoom. And there isn't a Bunjuma family that isn't touched by this. You know, this is really a huge human rights issue. It's something that Bunjuma people are now have resolved to do something about, and they've hired an amazing legal team to start looking into litigation options.
You're listening to Earth Matters on the Community Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today. And if you've just tuned in, we're sharing a conversation with director-producer Yara Bo Melham about the newly released award-winning documentary Yolu Country, which deals with the catastrophic health and environmental impacts of asbestos mining in the Pilbara region of Western Australia. Maitland Parker is fighting for his life. He's outraged at the failure of successive West Australian governments to take responsibility for the clean-up of Wittenoom, but also has a deep longing to return to places of cultural significance, in particular, a birthing tree on Mulga Downs, the property of Gina Rinehart's late father, mining magnate Lang Hancock. It was there that Parker's mother and family matriarchs birthed their young. Let's go back to Yara.
I mean, Lang Hancock was, you know, considered or kind of self-described as the father of Wittenoom. He was one of the original owners of the mine, started, you know, asbestos mining there. And his pastoral station at the time, Mulga Downs, is where Maitland and his family actually, you know, spent a lot of time and worked there, and where there's a women's cultural site that Maitland is trying to get access to. But ironically, Lang Hancock and his staff had carted Bluer's best off tailings, like waste, from Wittenoom and used it to, pave roads in Mulga Downs around this birthing tree. So it really frustrated this process of Maitland trying to get access to this birthing tree on Mulga Downs Station. Eventually, soil tests reveal that actually the area, particularly around this birthing tree, isn't contaminated. So we were able to gain access in the end, but it was a really trying process for Maitland. It really exhausted him. But we're so glad that we're able to make this really cathartic visit to the birthing tree, able to do that for Maitland because it was very much a big wish of his. It was something that really drove him, that he really wanted to access this site, pass on knowledge to his family, as a custodian of country, of those stories, of that knowledge. It was so important for him to record that and pass that on. I mean, a birthing tree is particularly evocative because DNA, like blood, is in that ground. Generations of, so many people. It's quite an evocative thing. And I think that is something that we are still, as non-Indigenous people living on this land, grappling with. And because it was so important to Maitland, like we kind of had to make sure that it happened. It was one of his core wishes for the film. This is a story I want recorded in the film.
So for you, that was a learning process, wasn't it? You were learning about why that was so important. Like you were responding to his need, but it was an education, wasn't it?
It was because he would say, we would have constant, conversations about what, should we put in the film, what's important to you, we need to kind of, capture this sort of sentiment, and how should we do it, et cetera, et cetera. And anytime I asked him, okay, what else do you want to capture for the film, like from a cultural perspective, he kept returning to the birthing tree. Kept it to, and I was like, look, it's hard to access that site. Is there another place? In my kind of really naive, ignorant, from that kind of perspective, I was like, look, it's kind of hard. Like, is there something that's easier? Come on, like let's try to work on something that's possible at this stage. Because it was really, really difficult for us to get that access. And it was taking a long time, and he didn't have time. Like, he just didn't. And so it really kind of, it took us a long time to get around to this fact that, well, he's not going to forget about it. And so he would, this is what he wants, and this is his film as much as it is ours. Like, we're making this together, and so we had to figure out a way to make it happen. And luckily, in a way, it's kind of like a beautiful land rights story, because it was because of native title land rights that Banjima people were able to negotiate this access, faster than ordinarily they would have. And it's kind of like that, it's like a small win for under that native title kind of lens. And it's kind of poetic in that sense. And so we were really so happy that that was something that we could do with this film. Throughout this kind of larger fight to get country cleaned up, and to heal the land and heal people, like there was this kind of win for Maitland and his family that they could go under native title and visit their birth the birthing tree.
You're listening to Earth Matters, and we are sharing a conversation with director-producer Yara Bo-Melham about the newly released award-winning documentary Yolu Country. The film deals with the catastrophic health and environmental impacts of asbestos mining in the Pilbara region in WA. One device used to great effect in the film is drone footage.
You got some beautiful shots of the overview of the country, but also the, it actually looks like a horrible kind of cyst on the landscape, I'll have to say. But
We call it like a cancerous tumor on the
yeah, that's what it
landscape, which
looks
is like
like.
the asbestos waste, like kind of clinging to the these beautiful red gorges in Wittenoom Gorge. And the tailings dumps are actually like 40 meters high, clinging to the sides of these gorges like a tumor.
Yeah, like a tumor. What I wanted to know was how did Maitland respond to those, and his family respond to those overshots? What was their reaction to those shots?
It was a perspective that many Bunjuma people haven't seen before. Obviously, it's the contamination zone is restricted. People can't aren't advised to go there. People don't because it's
Well, it's an evil place now.
yeah. It really did feel sinister. It felt. I mean, you can't breathe there without feeling like you might get exposed to a deadly fiber. I mean, so we were going into this contamination zone. We had like a pretty rigorous safety plan put together by an asbestos diseases safety expert, about what to wear and decontamination processes and disposing of any, waste responsibly. But we were walking in there with an elder from that country who had an asbestos-related disease as a result of exposure. So it was extreme, like the sinister nature of it was heightened from the beginning. We went pretty deep into where the main tailings dumps are. And we have this drone shot that goes for 5 minutes, which obviously we condensed in the film. And it just shows like the tailings dumps going for like hundreds of meters. And that is not a perspective many people will ever see unless they're flying over that site in a chopper. So for us, what we really wanted to do was bring this, seemingly out of sight, out of mind problem for most people, but not for Bunjuma people, to bring this out of sight, out of mind issue into full view in the film. And it was really arresting. And Maitland and I had shown the Bunjuma Native Title Aboriginal Corporation board those tailings dumps and that site, and everyone was just shocked because they didn't realize how bad it was. Because there's no interaction with country. People have been cut off, and that's, yes, for safety reason, but that has a profound cultural impact as well.
That was Yarrabo Melham speaking to Annie McLaughlin of 3CR's Showreel program about Yolu country. You can hear the full interview by heading to the 3CR Showreel webpage at 3cr.org.au/showreel/episode/Yolu-i-country. And to learn more about the film, you can check out the links on the Earth Matters webpage at 3cr.org/Earth Matters. For information about how to watch the film or organise a community screening, as well as get involved in the Clean Up Wittenoom campaign, head to the website notes. Since its release in November 2025, Yolu has collected an armful of awards, including the 2025 Walkley Documentary Award, an Australian Screen Sound Guild Award, and Best International Feature at the Buffalo International Film Festival. I hope you can get along to see it, and better still, get in touch with the filmmakers on the links we provide and organise a community screening for your work, your family, or the club that you might be involved in. It's a great way to learn about what's happening in this part of Australia and support the actions that the filmmakers, and most importantly, Maitland Parker, hope that you'll take. That's all for Earth Matters this week. I'm Claudia Craig. I'd like to dedicate this episode of Earth Matters to my uncle, Frank Mason, who died of mesothelioma 10 years ago. He's sorely missed, but our memories of him are a reminder that there is still tremendous work to be done to prevent more lives being lost to this awful environmental pollutant.
We're talking about ecological thinning and subsidised logging, but we basically mean the same things, don't we, here?
Wherever there are chemical corporations around the world, they're constantly trying to chip away at regulations.
Earth Matters, bringing you environmental and social justice stories from developments in government and industry to the campaigns and communities that are standing up to them.
While the headlines have subsided, the nuclear power plant is still not under control, with the spent fuel rods removed from only one out of four reactors.
Law needs to change so that our rights can be recognised, so that decisions in relation to the use and exploitation of our lands is out.
Earth Matters would like to thank the Community Broadcasting Foundation for their generous financial support, and the Community Radio Network for getting this program out to you. Earth Matters is produced in the studios of 3CR on Wurundjeri Country in Fitzroy Nam. If you'd like to get in touch, you can send us an email at earthmatters3cr@gmail.com or message us on Facebook or Instagram. We'd love to hear from you.
We're talking about ecological thinning and subsidised logging, but we basically mean the same things, don't we, here?
Wherever there are chemical corporations around the world, they're constantly trying to chip away at regulations.
Earth Matters, bringing you environmental and social justice stories from developments in government and industry to the campaigns and communities that are standing up to them.
While the headlines have subsided, the nuclear power plant is still not under control, with the spent fuel rods removed from only one out of four reactors.
Law needs to change so that our rights can be recognised, so that decisions in relation to the use and exploitation of our lands is out. Thank you.